You are listening to the Uncommon Truth Podcast, produced by the Father's House Church in Oroville, California. I'm Luke, and we created this podcast because we want to explore Christianity the way that Jesus intended it to be. If you're interested in joining us on this journey, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, or for more resources, check out changeoroville.org. Well, here we are, the Uncommon Truth Season 6, and we're...
Season 6?
Yep, reading in His likeness, and this is Chapter 10. So, it's called, Who Am I Supposed to Be?
Oh, boy.
All right, so you want me to read?
Yeah, why not?
Where do you want to read at? First
we're
chapter?
Reading at the beginning of chapter 10, page 57. It is clear from the study of Jesus and his works that he decided who was healed and who heard his message. He was completely confident in his authority as his Father's son. Yet, instead of imitating him, we try to make it all about the fact that he was God in the flesh, as if the rules were somehow different for him than they are for us.
That's really good.
I have heard people teach many differing messages on this subject, yet all of them have had less than Jesus results. They have testimonies of success, and yet they lack the long-lasting results that were evident in the life of Jesus. I have wondered why this seems to have been the case for all of my life. I now understand that our confusion is the key. Confusion that swiftly germinates into an identity crisis. If I have learned anything in my search, it's this. The most important question I have to answer is, who am I? In answer to my questions, the Lord, turning the page, has told me a few things that have greatly increased my effectiveness in healing pain and disease. Some of the problem stems from always having to use the same method, begging an apparently external God to meet my or someone else's need. Because of the love of the Father, this method sometimes works. God responds to our request. So because it works, sometimes we settle on this method as the intended method for a praying Christian. Jesus often prayed in secret. We don't know how he prayed in these times. But when confronted with the demon who caused the young man to be thrown in the fire, the disciples asked why they could not cast it out, and Jesus told them that this kind only comes out with much prayer and fasting. Yes, Jesus did not stop to pray or fast to get this demon to go. He just said, go. So we can tell that in these secret places, Jesus was establishing his identity as the son of a loving and powerful God, Father, a father who placed his authority and anointing on his son. I think that it's so interesting that, you know, he says they only come out by prayer and fasting.
But he didn't do that.
And he hadn't been fasting, and he just said
right
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it isn't how you battle the demon. It's how you become somebody that the demon will listen to when you say go.
Right.
You know, we know Paul and we know Jesus, but we don't know you, they said to the seven sons of Sceva.
And beat him up.
And the question is, do the demons know you? And that's what Jesus was talking about. Have you fasted and prayed and put yourself in the presence of God, learning how to be a son to a father that's always a father? He doesn't have to learn to be a father. He's always a father. Are you acting, living, breathing, eating, drinking as a son? Are you praying as a son? Are you somebody the demons would say, we know Paul, we know Jesus, and we know you. What are you doing here? Instead of giving a good thrashing to you for trying to use a name you have authority, you have no right to use.
Right.
And that's what Jesus is talking about. This kind only comes out through much fasting and prayer, meaning you have to become a person whose belief system has fasting and prayer in it, their life, the buildup of your life. But mostly it's that identity Jesus has as the son to the father, my father who art in heaven. He very, very clearly presents himself as the son, very clearly presents himself as God is my father. Tells them, you must have God be your father.
Did you see me?
You must act as though you're a toddler climbing up in your father's lap, and you must trust him like a toddler trusts their father. And you know, we never hear toddlers asking, are we going to eat tonight? No, they just expect their father's going to take care of them, their mother's going to take care of them. And they just trust that life is good. They're going to play till the dinner bell rings. And they have no worries that it's ever going to ring. They know it's going to ring. And when they feel bad, they run to their mommy. They don't, is she going to comfort me? No, they know she's going to comfort them. And there's this trust that little toddlers have in their parents that's not just a trust like we say trust. It's a trust of knowing. It's a trust of absolute dependence on their father, their mother, their parent, their guardian to take care of them. And that's what Jesus is saying. He is. And that's what we must become. And that's why he could say right to the demon, this kind comes out only prayer and fasting, and then go, and it goes, because of who he is and who he has demonstrated through his teachings, through his life, through his obedience, through every aspect of his life. And that's what you and I are supposed to be imitating.
Never lacked confidence, did he, of who he was?
Never.
He just, it's like he always had the answer, the right answer. Yeah. He always knew what to do. Like, it's kind of funny. I was thinking when you read that, I thought, he's not praying and fasting, but he just knew who he was. And how many of us really know when it comes to Jesus, being a Christian, who we are and how, you know, like who he is and who that makes us? I think that, I know in America, probably in England and Canada as well, it's just we're so confused with who we are. Yeah. We don't love ourselves. We don't believe God's going to back our play. I think oftentimes at the Father's house, I feel like we walk and then he backs us up. You know, we do these things. Let's just talk about like things we've done. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Christmas light walk,
right,
where we're a church of 250 and we just welcome 30,000 people. Well, we've built up a relationship of trust to know that he who he is and what he wants to do in some ways. And we just go. We don't pray and fast about it. We just, because in this area, we know who God has been at the Father's house for 26 years. Mm-hmm. We start out very small.
Yeah.
And we just start, our faith increased and he showed up and our faith increased. And it's almost like at the Father's house, I feel like that one scene in the Indiana Jones, I think it's The Last Crusade with Sean Connery, where he had to walk across a chasm, right? There was no bridge.
Right.
So he would die if there was no bridge. And if you remember the scene, he threw the rocks and he kind of saw that there was a little bridge. But he took a step and it was there and he walked all the way across a bridge. I think in some areas we've done a great job at the Father's house when it comes to believing for things or doing. You know, I think we have walked across a chasm where there was no bridge, knowing that if we did it, God would back us up. So I think in one area, we kind of know who we are.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like healing, you know, I'm not sure we know yet. We're getting a little bit better, but if he says a greater things you'll do, I'm not sure we know who we are yet in that. But it's a walk. And I think the confusion is, well, he didn't do it this time, so let's just not ever ask him again. Instead of saying, you know, I'm not sure that how to get rid of that demon. He doesn't know who I am. So if I tell him to go, he could beat the crap out of me, like the seven sons of Sceva.
It's an uncertainty of who you are.
That's right.
And to him.
To
how he sees you.
Yeah.
So if we're, you know, we don't take his words literally because we have so much self-hate in our lives. So we don't really understand who we are because of our moms and dads not doing what they're supposed to be. So we're confused, just as people in the human race. And then when Jesus is saying, you know, ask anything in my name, or, you know, you greater things, or, you know, you have this, and the Comforter will do that, and the Holy Spirit will guide you, and you'll be a light to your path. And we don't think it's literal. It's literal. It really is literal.
Right.
And as I've walked with him now for 45 years, and I've seen this, yet I'm still way behind the curve of knowing who I'm supposed to be. I'm way farther than I was, and I think at the Father's house we do a great job of reading the words of Jesus and acting upon them. And I think that's number one, is that you really need to know what his words are and take them literally.
That's
that
right.
Makes you not. Yeah. That makes you understand who you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And knowing who you are is what he did. He knew who it was. Father,
confident.
Father, I thank you that you hear me in the way, a couple of times. You know, thank you that you hear me.
Yeah.
It wasn't like begging him. You're gonna back my play. No, he just said, go get some water, fill these jugs, now serve it.
Mm-hmm. Go get two
yeah,
fish.
Yeah, just go down there. He just told him,
right,
because he knows who he is, and he says all things.
Knows your father.
And so, thank you, Father, that you hear me. But he also says to the disciple. All things are possible to him who believes.
Ha,
and so what believe, so we talk a lot around here, but the definition of believe.
Right.
Well, you don't believe if you don't know who you are.
Yeah, that's
see, that's not how Hollywood portrays it. That's not how English portrays it. That you're not who you say you are you don't believe unless you are who you're supposed to be.
Say it again. And that was confusing.
So you don't believe if you don't know that you're his son. If you're not confident in what you're doing, as like he is, like go fill the jugs, all things are possible to you. If you don't believe all things are possible to you because you don't know who you are, like am I really that person? It's impossible for you to say you believe.
Wow.
And I really want to continue to refine that name, that word, whether I believe or not, and the understanding of belief, so that I can become more and more the spectacle of belief that he is saying I should be. Now, the mother goes to Jesus and says, grant right hand and left hand to my sons.
Yeah.
He says, that's not mine to give. He reveals there's things that the Jesus on earth wasn't able to do. That authority was still in the Father's hands.
The power.
And so it's kind of interesting, but then he says, go your way, your faith has healed you. If you're willing, I can be healed. I'm willing, be healed. There's no prayer.
Right, it doesn't say
there's
God,
no fasting.
God, if it's your will.
Yeah, if God's willing, you'll be healed. No, he says, I am willing, be healed. Go your way, your faith has healed you. Your words have healed you.
The centurion just said, I don't even want you to come to my house because, you know, you're a man of great authority.
I'm a man under authority. I tell people and
they
do.
He just said, it's like all the places where he didn't stop and fast. He just knew who he was, and he had the authority and the power and the confidence to know who his Father and him were.
And he knew that his will was the Father's will. So therefore he had to know the Father's will.
It's good.
To be positive, my will is the Father's will. If I ask something, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know this is God's will and I'm going to ask for it. That's what he was doing. He wasn't asking, he was telling. He was doing, acting, producing. And that's knowing who you're supposed to be. The best example on earth is Jesus.
Amen.
And the best journey on earth
Jesus.
is the pursuit of Jesus to find out who am I supposed to be.
Yeah.
Really I think good. Everybody comes, I mean, you know, you come to Jesus and you're very insecure, you're very this, you're very broken, you're young, you're mature. And I believe the fruit of knowing Jesus is a confidence and maturity, understanding more and more every day that you have the authority of God if you're acting the way he says, if you're obeying like he says, if you're loving like he says. I think that you start to understand, and that for me, like I said, I just know I can believe for a lot of things because I've seen what he's done in my life. I can pray and know that I'm praying in his will. I don't have to fast. I don't have to stop and pray. I just know that feeding people is probably his will. I don't have to, you know, really work because I know who he is. And so it's really practical, but we're so broken. And Satan comes to tell us who we are, and we believe it. And then Jesus comes and says, no, that's not who you are, and we don't believe it. And the confidence of a relationship, a love relationship, you should change and to know who you are. I was very insecure when I married Steve. I didn't know who I was. Because of his love, I'm not as insecure as I was. I'm very confident because his love changed me. How much more should we know who we are because the Lord saved our lives?
Yeah.
And I'm so beholding to him. And just the confidence I walk in should not be an arrogant confidence, but it's because I know Jesus way more than I did yesterday, and I'll know him way more tomorrow than I did today, hopefully.
That's relationship. Really good. One of the things you say in this first couple paragraphs is you reference the idea of praying to an external God who's out there somewhere. And right. One of the things I was thinking as I was reading through this chapter is that not only does praying to an external God limit the miraculous that we may or may not see, I think it also limits his capacity to change our identity. Because if he's like way out there, rather than when he comes to make his home in me, that changes me. The revelation of him in me should change me. But if I don't actually live that way with the understanding that he's here, then I'm going to always live with this God that I'm begging to
a beggar
for whatever.
That's a game really changer, good. Luke. Yeah. That's a total game changer. The idea of praying to an external God and praying to the God who lives inside of you and allowing his power to move in you, to your hand. Your hand becomes his hand. Your voice becomes his voice. And your life becomes his life. He your life is no longer your own, but he's the operator. He's the driver of this life. My life is no longer mine. It belongs to him.
So good.
And I think that's the most profound, game-changing thing you can start to do in your life is to just pause for a moment and close your eyes. And before you pray, become aware of his presence inside of you. And then let him pray through you, whether that's through the laying on of hands or someone across the table or someone not even in the room. Mm-hmm. Something you want to happen in the future is to let the Holy Spirit rise up inside of you and formulate the words you pray is everything.
That's really good.
It's what the praying in tongues is supposed to activate.
Right.
And it's praying in English, and now my mind's engaged. Now my will and my want is engaged. And it's a game changer. I've never seen such a change in my prayer life as to realize that I'm a son to God. He's a father to me. And I let him pray through me. I'm here to make him famous. I'm here to make my life serve him. Not, why aren't you blessing my life? Or why don't you bless my body? Or why don't you bless, you know, my finances? Instead, it's no, my life is your life. And you operate my life from inside of me. And I surrender my will to you. And let's just, Father, you know, would you touch this camera and fix it? Would you touch this person and fix them? Would you, you know, allowing him to do it from the inside. And really becoming conscious of it. It's Jesus in me that's the hope of God being glorified. Mm. That's why he's in me, is to be glorified through me.
And I just like the point he made too. It's just like, it's like you, if you're praying to an external God, you'd never know who you were.
Mm. That's right.
You'd be a beggar.
Your identity changes.
It's really good.
Because you know, it says, he'll make his home in us and we make our home in him. Yes. So that suddenly we're no longer the orphan. That's
really good.
We're not the guy living down the street. Right. Right? We're the son.
And I think that's such a great scripture, is he'll make his home in us. Mm-hmm. If we could really get that, I think we totally would know who we were in Christ. And where we miss the mark, it would be not because he did something wrong. It's because we didn't really understand that he's living in us, in the internal, external God, like you said. You know, just if that... But to me, it's an exercise when I pray for people to think of an internal God and touching him.
Yeah.
You know, at times I know that he's with me and I really feel like he's inside, you know, and most of the time I feel that. But for me, the biggest uphill battle I have is for praying for healing. Like I said, other places, I just, my faith, I think, is pretty good. Strong. It's gotten stronger every day. But getting the fact of he's an internal God that lives inside of you.
Yeah.
And what does he want? Well, he wants you healed. You know, and how do we do that? Well, you know, it's like you're following him.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the last paragraph of this chapter. The Apostle Paul said that if we believed, we would be given the power to become the children of God. A person on the journey to achieving this would be very dangerous to the prince of this world. I think this must be the point of his greatest deception and attack, stopping people from understanding who they are supposed to be.
It's perfect.
Can you imagine the saving, healing, and delivering that would go on if only one person could get this identity? What about 100 million little Jesuses running around? It is so vital that we understand who we are in Christ.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
I think one of the, you know, the things going on in the world today, right, is with identity is not only am I not looking to Christ, the world is trying to decide, well, this is who I am. And we're wanting to, you know, take authority over all kinds of things, whether it's, you know, gender or
pronouns,
sexuality or pronouns, or even you got people saying, well, I identify as this age, so I'm this age, you know, there's like,
I identified as a 45 year old. What good does that do?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But across the world is this pursuit of truth and identity as we see it, or as we desire it, or what feels true, rather than going to the source of truth.
That's really good.
And I think, you know, how do we change that? How do we come, you know, what
you read the words of Jesus and you let them change, and he makes his home in you, and he tells you who you are, right? And that's the chapter is who am I supposed to be, right?
Right.
Am that's I supposed to be he, or
you let him teach you who you are.
Yeah, it's good.
You don't go to listen to him to approve what you think you are. You let him teach you
let
who
his
you
words
are.
Judge
the words of Jesus, what Vicky's saying.
Yeah.
So I think we, you know, we have some work to do on this, whether we're, you know, totally lost and confused, I have no idea who we are, or whether we're starting to figure it out. As you said at the start of the chapter, you know, where there are people that have, you know, mixed results or good results when it comes to living in his likeness, but none of us seem to have gotten a perfect score
1,000% No, I would like to be 97% accurate, just like the Bible was, right? That would be perfect to me. Oh, my goodness, But it's a great discussion today.
Yeah, so thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
We will be back soon.
We'll be back soon.
And enjoy the rest of your week. And
have a great week.
We'll see
you soon. Can you get the book at? Did you say it already?
Steve said it at the start.
He did, didn't he?
But we'll say it again.
Yeah, you can.
You can pick up this book in his likeness at Amazon. Search for Steve Orsillo in his likeness, or at the Father's House Church. So we also love you to come visit us at the church.
And come over and hang out. For a week.
So have a great time. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Uncommon Truth podcast today. I hope this episode encouraged you, inspired you, maybe even challenged you to keep seeking after everything Jesus has for you and the life he calls you to live. If you haven't already, please take a moment and subscribe to the Uncommon Truth podcast. That way you'll get every episode each week when it's released. It would really help us if you could rate and review and even share this podcast with anyone that you think would be encouraged by it. Help us spread the message to more people so that we can all live out this Christianity the way Jesus intended it to be. If you would like to get in touch with us, have any questions about the podcast, the topics, or even like us to pray for you, you can do so by emailing us at uncommontruthpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next time.